Hello, Santa Barbara and everywhere on the internet that is listening. This is Bruce Salen, and welcome to The Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. Should you want to call in, please do. If you're local, call 805-564-1290 or toll free 866-564-1290. You can email questions to bruce@brucesalen.com. You can tweet at Bruce Salen. And if you tweet during the show, I can handle it as I'm a multitasker and I have my computer here. And I like to look at those tweets, and it's fun to do it instantly. And that's what makes live radio live, especially when I mess up. We will read the music from last week at the end of this segment, as I always do. No one has been a taker on the prize, which is Wayne Levine's terrific book, The Relationship Manual for Men. And we have Wayne today actually as a double guest, because our usual internet dating expert, Julie Spira, is away at a conference giving out advice to people that are paying thousands of dollars for her wisdom. And we are fortunate enough to have her just on our own because she loves us so much. But Wayne will take over and we will get a man's point of view on the dating scene. Today's topic is based on this week's A Dad's Point of View column, which is titled Couples Need Couples. And as always, you can find my columns anywhere on the web if you search for A Dad's Point of View, or look first, of course, in the Santa Barbara News Press, page 2 on Tuesday, in the front section, and you will find it. This topic is an important one to me, and it's one that I think people don't talk about or actually think about that much. Couples really do need couples. And I may read a little bit from the column itself, but I want to start with a story. And the story is about a couple that goes out with another couple. And this is a scenario that I bet many of you have experienced. Let's say you and your wife are getting ready to go out with Richard and his wife. And you and your wife have a fight. And you're arguing and you're fighting and you're not happy, but you've got to meet Richard and his wife. And so you put your argument aside. You get in the car. You meet Richard and his wife at the restaurant you've agreed to. Unbeknownst to you, on the drive over, Richard's wife has been ragging on Richard, and they're fighting too. But of course, you both arrive at the valet at the same time, and you both greet each other, and everybody puts on a big old happy face. Now, Richard's wife looks at you, treating your wife just like the princess that she wishes you really would treat her as. And your wife looks at Richard as he pulls out the chair for his wife. And you guys proceed to have a great dinner. You talk about politics. You talk about your kids and how great they are. You don't talk about the fact that one kid's in rehab, the other one just got unemployed, and the third one is getting divorced. You talk about all the good stuff. And if you have grandkids, you bring out the pictures. And you have a great meal. Maybe you share a bottle of wine. Maybe you share another bottle of wine. You've known each other for years. Then we all get back in our cars. And Richard's wife turns to Richard and says, "Why can't you treat me like he does?" And your wife turns to you and says, "You know, Richard is such a gentleman and you're such a jerk." And you resume your fights. Now, I'm exaggerating with that scenario, but the point is, I think couples need other couples in their lives to tell them the truth. I think they need other couples to tell them about the problems they have. Honestly, really. And especially the problems they have with each other. Because let's face it, after the honeymoon is over, most relationships do settle into either routines, or if not routines, there will be crises that will happen in every relationship. How you handle them will define the success of your relationship. And I think if you have other couples in your life that will actually tell you how they've handled them, it will help you. I'll give you an example in my life, which I've been very fortunate to have. And one of my slight regrets, although it's worked out well for me, is that I became a father late in life. My first son was born 4 days after I turned 40, so I consider him my 40th birthday present. And my second son was born around the time I turned 43. So I was somewhat of an old dad. And fortunately, I have enough energy that it's not been a problem, even though I'm sometimes perceived of as their grandfather when I go to school events, which I don't particularly appreciate, which is why I have an appointment tomorrow to dye my hair. I'm thinking about bright white or bright blonde. I don't know. Suggestions are welcome. Anyway, all my friends, however, they had kids in their 30s, some even in their 20s. So I had the benefit, and I mean this quite sincerely, I really took notes the moment I became a father of all the stages that my friends were going through with their kids. So that meant, and they were usually about 10 years ahead of me, that meant when their kid started driving, I learned what happened. My kid was only 6. He was driving a tricycle at the time. When their kids went through drug or drinking problems, when their kids went through school problems, when their kids went through college, and now all my friends' kids are coming out of college and can't find a job. So what are they going to do? I'm getting valuable information from their experiences. And I believe to a large degree you get the same thing if you share with couples about your interpersonal relationships. So that's the point of this column, and that's the point of this show. We will not devote the whole show to it because it doesn't really fit perfectly well with our teen rap segment. And if Pastor Drew should be here for that segment, as always, we may couple our show, so to speak, our topic with him and make it more just about teens and their friends and the influence and the impact of that. Again, I want to just repeat, you know, when you're in the honeymoon phase, it's wonderful. And many couples don't need other people in their lives when they're in the honeymoon phase. But later you do. And that's the challenge. And the other challenge that I talk about is it's even harder in second marriages. That's what we discovered, and that's actually what inspired the column. We went on a trip, a cruise, and we met a group of other couples. And I don't know why it always seems to happen this way, but we hung out with these four or five couples, and they were our group for the whole trip. And they were great people. And I wished that more of them, because only one of the couples lived anywhere near where we lived, I wish more of these couples were in our area because they were candidates to be couples friends with me and my wife. Now, remember, I'm only married now a year and a half. So my wife and I were both single for 6 and 10 years, respectively. What happens when you're single and divorced is you develop single friends. And then you get married again, and you have to introduce each other to your single friends. But single friends and couple friends don't always match, and it could be a challenge. And then the older you get, the more you're set in your ways, and so it becomes even more of a problem. So we discussed this among the group at dinner on the cruise, and it was interesting because most everybody except one of the five couples were in a second or even third or fourth marriage. So this is the topic for today. As you know, my show covers a wide range of topics, much as my weekly column does. The topics include the obvious parenting topics, subjects, and though I don't talk about raising girls because I only raise boys. And I want to share with you last week's music. As I always do, I just gave my producer, Richard Dugan, a CD with 235 new songs because the goal here is to not repeat. I may because there's a some that I love. But last week, we had Jimmy Soul's song, If You Want to Be Happy for the Rest of Your Life, which I continue to love. We had the Marx Brothers and Groucho doing Hello, I Must Be Going. Al Jolson doing My Mammy. Al Jolson, of course, being the first singer and the first talkie, which was called, oh my gosh, I can't even remember right now. Do you remember what it is, Richard? The first movie. Oh, it was called, oh gosh. All right, somebody call in and tell me. I will remember. I'll look it up. Dean Martin did Please Don't Talk About Me When I'm Gone. I love Eric Clapton, and he did Bob Dylan's amazing song, Knockin' on Heaven's Door, which, just to show how forgetful I am, was the theme song, and Bob Dylan sang it for a movie, a Western, that I think starred Kris Kristofferson, and I think it was Billy Garrett and Billy the Kid and Billy Garrett, maybe that was it. It was a not great movie, but it was a great song. As always, I had Frank Sinatra, and this time it was I've Got You Under My Skin, which is a classic song that he redid and truly reinvented. Had the movie theme from The Magnificent Seven, which, if you recall, in the days when cigarettes were on commercials, that theme was used for the Marlboro commercial. And finally, in keeping with me and my two boys, I had the TV theme for The Three Stooges. My producer, Richard Dugan, is telling me it's time for a break. Be sure to call in 866-564-1290 or locally at 805-564-1290. Please tweet if you'd like at Bruce Salen. And Wayne Levine is coming up next for the men's room. This is Bruce Salen on A Dad's Point of View for KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. Here is Taylor.